Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
I was going to start this show discussing what happened last night in Atlanta, but you know what happened on the field, not two old men arguing about things. I don't have that much interest in that. I was going to start the show with that, but John ended last show before we got into News of the Weird talking about it was a low percentage, but he gave a percentage of whether Reed Sheppard would be a Rocket to start the year. And he gave it a low percentage of about 20% that he would actually play a game. He wouldn't play a game for the Rockets. So 80% that he would be on the active roster because he believes, and I think I agree with him, that the Rockets are still in the mode of acquiring a star. And it just so happens that a report came out, and all of these are unsubstantiated. It's just reporters digging around that the Rockets are still looking to acquire a star, but not one that is of the age of Kevin Durant or Paul George. The names that they are focused on are going to be in the age of Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, and Zion Williamson. And all that sounds great, except until you get to the bottom of the article where, you know, it acknowledges that none of those guys are available. So it's cool. The Rockets would like one of those guys, a star in their prime or just before it in Zion's case. But as you might imagine, the teams who currently have them on the roster aren't interested in trading them. But lending some credence to John's point, which I rarely like to do because he rarely has a good one, is that stars shake loose all the time. And we got a whole summer to have these conversations. And if the Rockets are looking, they certainly have the assets to get them. The article in The Athletic also talks about how they do like their guys and they start running off all the young players. But the draft is over. The Rockets do make a trade. We'll get to. But free agency begins this weekend. By the time we come back, there may be a shakeup as far as the NBA is concerned about who goes where. I think everyone thinks the big domino is Paul George, and then that'll start the procession of events. But at this point, I agree with John, which I hate saying. The Rockets aren't done searching and clawing and trying to pry someone away from a team with all their assets that they have. It'll just be a point of a star asking out. And I mentioned it before the previous show closed. Damian Lillard right now was, at least in everyone's eyes, going to be a Blazer for life. And then by the time the weekend of maybe July 4th hit, we found out he wanted out and he wanted to be on one team specifically. And of course, that lasted all summer. Then he wound up with the Bucks. So it's almost, it's almost like Rocky would say, it ain't over. It's never over. That's really Rambo, actually. That wasn't Rocky. That's just another Sylvester Stallone character that I mixed up.
As Sylvester Stallone says.
Yeah, yes, in a movie where he plays John Rambo. It ain't, nothing is over. So we certainly, I hope a move happens before then if the Rockets are actually going to make one. But we could be dealing with this all summer as reports come out discussing what the Rockets might do. They do make a trade, though. Adrian Griffin, the once promising first rounder out of Duke, who the Hawks took, and he played over 70 games in year one, started at 12, only played 20 last year, shot the ball well from three in year one. He was known coming into the draft as a shooter, so the Rockets acquire Adrian Griffin for a second round pick. That happened over, actually, right before the draft, and then we found out, because the draft is weird like this, the NBA is weird, that the Rockets were making a pick. If you didn't know the Adrian Griffin trade was happening, you just assume the Rockets drafted some dude from Arizona. Turns out that dude from Arizona was actually not even the Hawks pick who the Hawks acquired from the Rockets. The Hawks traded down to give it to the Heat. So no, if you were watching, they did not draft Pel Larson from Arizona. They did trade for Adrian Griffin. Where he fits, I don't know. He's a 11th, 10th man, which means he probably won't play very much unless injuries occur or the Rockets consolidate a couple of their talents to go get a player. You never know. You just do not know. But that's kind of where the Rockets are right now. And someone tweeted me yesterday after the game, because I posted something on that hellscape that of social media about college football fans and USMNT fans agreeing on shaking hands on rooting for your coach to lose because it probably means he'll get fired. And that's what happened after the Panama game. Look, the Berhalter out thing has been a long-running narrative, and rightfully so. And Sean, who knows about college football fans wanting their coach to get fired, said something to me before the show started that what happened last night in Atlanta against Panama was like Charlie Strong losing to Texas. He couldn't believe Charlie Strong served it up on the platter for Texas fans, and he can't believe that Berhalter actually did the thing we thought might happen, and maybe in some places deep dark within us hoped would happen, because it would lead to him being ousted. It did happen. Now, there are circumstances that were beyond his control. Timothy Weah, a good player who plays for Juventus, committed a stupid foul. Was a red card, initially a yellow card, but it turns into a red. And USMNT goes down 2-1 after, you know, they took a lead after that red card, gave it up 4 minutes later, part of the Berhalter experience, never doing well with success against anyone with any competence. And I don't know that Panama's competent. I just think they ran into a team who let their emotions get the best of them early, and they finally took advantage with that goal to tie it. And then late, they scored a goal as the U.S. could not clear their lines late. So they go down 2-1. So, Sean, they lose. The entire soccer world, as far as the U.S. is concerned, thinks if he loses to Uruguay or Uruguay, depending on how you want to say it, he's out. Do you think he's out? Do you think they're going to torture us with, you know, well, we're gonna consider things and keep him around, and then he's still around for the World Cup? Or is not getting out of the group stage on your home soil in a major tournament enough to finally say, you got to go?
I just have no faith that they'll actually make the move, because you could kind of say the same case for the last time he kept his job after the World Cup.
Well, at least that wasn't in the World Cup, and you lost to the Netherlands. You're losing to Panama. You lost in the group stage. You lost in the second round to Panama. to Netherlands. If you don't get out of the group stage at home,
it's worse.
It's definitely worse.
It's worse, but it's also. Again, they did a. They actually let his contract expire.
And brought him back.
Did a coaching search and brought him back.
Even when he had a giant scandal with one of your more promising players, a son of a U.S. legend.
Yes,
and they still brought him back.
They still brought. So he has staying power. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Maybe they point the finger and they put all the blame on Tim Weah. I don't know.
And that was brought up. Lance talked about Tim Weah. He made an awful mistake. He apologized to his team, and then he apologized to the public on Instagram. That was an awful mistake to make. But Berhalter doesn't have the equity to survive one of his players being dumb. He doesn't have that equity. He hasn't built enough. No, all those gold cups and Nations League titles, no one gives a damn, because what they see last night was what they can foresee 2 years from now in this country against competition. This one happened to be a CONCACAF team, but against competition that isn't CONCACAF, you failing miserably on home soil. When's the last home country not to advance past group stage? Was it South Africa back in 2010? They didn't get out of the group stage. Home countries get out of the group stage. It happens.
Did Qatar get out?
Oh, Qatar. That's the other one. No one expected Qatar to get out.
Also, look who we're comparing you to.
Yeah.
Qatar and South Africa. South Africa.
Where you're supposed to be the 11th ranked team in the world.
Also, those are in World Cups. This is in Common Bowl.
It is. Copa America is a serious deal, certainly. But you weren't playing like a scrappy Paraguay team. in a South American country. You're playing Panama in Atlanta and found a way to, as Rafael Stone would say, trick it off, trick that game off. Timothy Weah is certainly responsible.
They need to hire Ime Udoka. That's what they need to do.
So he can call Messi a soft-ass boy?
Yeah.
At some
point. Tough these guys up.
Or at least Reyna a soft-ass boy. I don't know. There are multiple things to discuss as far as decision-making after they actually took the lead after the red card. I don't know why you're taking off Balogun. He was very good. Pepe had a chance, didn't convert it. You also had, you know, you put on Cardoso instead of Yunus Musah. All things you can criticize Berhalter for that go beyond Timothy Weah's mistake. But there is the cover of your player committed a dumb red card early in the game. You had to try to fight through it, and they almost got the point. They did not. So now, what it looks like now after that loss is they need to beat Uruguay, and they may need to beat them by a substantial number because Uruguay has a plus 7 goal differential. They're through. But Panama plays the worst team in the group, Bolivia. At the same time, the U.S. is going to play Uruguay. If Panama blows out Bolivia and goes from a minus 1 to say in their goal differential to say like a plus 3, then that means the U.S. at plus 1 right now would have to beat Bolivia Uruguay by multiple goals. And do we think this version of the U.S. team is beating if Uruguay is motivated, by multiple goals? Don't like the odds. So you can't just, you probably won't even get through with just a 2-1 win or a 1-0 win where you score and you defend admirably and heroically, as these are all soccer terms. I don't know if defending should be considered heroic, but they use that term all the time. If you even do that 1-0, you probably won't get through if Panama handles Bolivia like they should. Now, Panama might scrape through with some 2-1 win, and it might be enough to simply beat Uruguay by a goal, but I'm not banking on it. So good luck to Greg Berhalter. And actually, to be fair, good luck to the players. If Berhalter doesn't get any luck and he's gone, better for us.
Yeah, you get what you get, Berhalter.
Yeah, okay. Good luck to the players. It's a lot of pressure on them at home in a major tournament to play against the South American power. Of course, I would love to have them win and somehow it doesn't shine positively in Berhalter and he still leaves, but that's not how it's going to work. So I'm just going to watch, not root against the team, but if the inevitable happens, the expected happens, I'm going to be like, well, let's make a move, and hopefully the U.S. Soccer Federation does, but like Sean said, I have no faith. La Salsa, I'll get to you on the other side. I'm sure whatever you want to talk about isn't what you actually want to talk about. You're telling me you want to talk Astros? I doubt it. We'll hear from when the worst person you know makes a good point, and that's going to be Alexi Lawless. We'll hear from him when we come back, the former U.S. international, on the status of Berhalter and what the Uruguay game means, and then we'll get into the Astros and the Mets. That series begins tonight.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. La Salsa, we'll get to you here in a little bit. But first, just to wrap up what happened last night in Atlanta, the U.S. dropped a game to Panama that they had no business losing. I thought at some point it would be just like it always is. They were going to need, you know, a point from their final group stage match to get through. They always do this where they get in through like hard work and a little luck because the results go their way and they find a way to make it. Now they actually have to go out there and go beat Uruguay to give themselves a chance with no guarantee that they're going to make it to the quarterfinal. And this is Alexi Lawless last night on the Fox broadcast discussing what it means for the team itself and the future of Berhalter.
Lex, your takeaways right now from this loss?
I mean, this one hurts, obviously. But there's a strange part of me that said, you know what? All chips in, all right? We talked so much about this tournament being an assessment of this team, an assessment of head coach Greg Berhalter relative to getting out of the group and playing against the likes of Colombia and Brazil. Well, you know what? That challenge and that assessment and that ultimate assessment is now going to happen in the third game against Uruguay. And they better be up for it, because if they do not go through, Greg Berhalter is going to lose his job, and rightfully and fairly so. But this is a situation that this team, including Greg Berhalter, have created for themselves. Now find a way to get out of it.
I don't like the chances. I like the players. I think they're a very talented group. We had Glenn Davis on earlier in the day, and he discussed the goings on. And look, the focal point, and rightfully so, as far as the players are concerned, is Tim Weah's red card. But not enough equity to that be an excuse for why this group of players doesn't make a knockout round game on home soil in a major tournament. There's not enough equity built up by Berhalter for that to not happen, and to be able to lean on Weah not doing what he's supposed to and keep your job. He simply hasn't done enough. So we'll see how that goes. I don't feel like it's going to go well. But in the end, Sean, maybe a couple losses in 2024 mean better days are ahead. Of course, like you said, we have to trust them to make the decision and then make another decision and hire the right coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are a couple things I don't have much faith in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I well said that not only do you have to hope that they make the right decision in firing Berhalter, you then would have to trust them to make the right decision of finding the right replacement for Berhalter if they don't get out of the group. And what have they done to earn that trust? They haven't. So, yeah, this is the best thing that could happen, because at least give you another chance at, maybe it's someone respect. This is where I don't know enough about soccer to know who the candidates for the job.
Yeah, Glenn Davis was on. He didn't particularly know who they would want. You know, there's some consternation about not having an American-born coach, which I think enough American fans would be fine with. Hey, go hire the right guy, even if he's not American-born.
Is Bob Bradley still available?
I think he just took a job someplace. So maybe not.
Make him offer he can't refuse.
Maybe not.
Get Chris Del Conte to fly to
Is there a graveyard near Bob Bradley's house that Chris Del Conte can hide at until Bob Bradley makes it back into town? It was depressing last night. Although it's a performance I've seen before. So there's some depression and some hope, and then I realized I got to trust the U.S. Soccer Federation, so it's back to depression. But La Salsa wants to talk Astros, and we'll get to the Astros in more in depth after La Salsa's done. What's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hashtag justice for real. Hashtag beta man. And I want to wish the Astros dubs over the weekend, breathe some orange fire. But I finally watched episode 5 of The Boys, and my God, man. I thought I was into gore, but geez, that thing was left pocket, got flying farm animals, and RIP to Simon Pegg. That's all I got. Have a good weekend, fellas.
Well, we would generally save that for 11:30. And when you say you finally got to watch The Boys, didn't it premiere yesterday or maybe Wednesday night?
Finally got to.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You finally got to watch. It was less than 48 hours after the premiere. You can't use the word finally for that. But yeah, the Boys episode was pretty gory. We'll get to that at 11:30. Michael Carroll will join us to talk all the things that are pop culture and what is going on TV. So I knew he wasn't going to talk about the Astros, so there isn't a great transition from gory, the gory things that go on the Boys. But let's get to the Astros. They play the Mets over the weekend in a series featuring two hot baseball teams. The Mets have been really good. You want to thank Grimace if you're a Mets fan? Cool. But they're in the same spot that the Astros are, both at .500. The unfortunate thing if you're a Mets fan is that you reside in a division where the Phillies reside. So the Astros scuffling along to .500 on June 28th means they're in a much better position, because they're still only 4.5 games behind the Mariners. The Mariners had the day off yesterday, just like the Astros. So they're on a 7-game winning streak, we know. And credit the pitching for coming around. That's been the biggest thing for the Astros recently, is the fact that their pitching has showed up. And of course, they're getting off to good starts. They have there haven't been a lot of issues late with the road, mostly with the bullpen, but also you haven't had to deal with trying to fight back in a game because you're jumping out big early and kind of relatively coasting the rest of the way. And you can thank some of that. You can thank the Rockies for some of that. So, you know, 2 out of 3, you'd love to have it, but you're facing a much different opponent. The Mets haven't been great, as I laid out, but they're playing great. And they're at a point where they're trying to find their way back into a playoff spot. They're not winning the division, but you know, at 39-39, they have some hope. As long as Grimace is around, I guess they have a reason to believe. I wish the Astros had like a talisman that we could point to. We know Dana Brown says Alex Bregman is the go-to for the Astros. Like how he goes, this team goes. But he ain't Grimace. I know he's in HEB commercials, but he ain't a fantastical. I don't even know what the hell Grimace is, to be honest with you. What is he as? Like, what would he be described as? A ghoul?
Entity?
Yeah, I guess.
He's a pop culture figure.
Yeah, because like we know the Hamburglar is a person who steals hamburgers, but that's an actual humanoid thing. What the hell is a Grimace?
Also, the Hamburglar is not only humanoid, but also has like a shtick.
Yeah,
like, we know what the Hamburglar what does, is all yeah, about.
What does Grimace do?
We don't know.
I know he threw up the first pitch and yeah. It changed the Mets season. But what is Grimace about? What's his motivation? If we're doing a character arc on Grimace, we don't know any background on him. He's just a big purple blob of, I don't know. But the Mets have used his inspiration to kind of turn their season around. So that series kicks off with an Apple TV broadcast this Friday today, and then we'll get back to the Todd Callises of the world and the Jeff Blums on Saturday or tomorrow. But today, if you didn't know, find the Astros on Apple TV. Peña, I see you. You have a life update. I guess this is the place for it. Why not? We'll get to Peña when we come back. And we'll go around the association as well, because there are things going on beyond what the Rockets are doing. Some guys are getting money that you didn't think about would get this type of money, but it's happening. And at this point, as free agency is approaching, now is the time, if you haven't done it already, to lock in your roster. Like if you are, say, the Raptors, maybe you want to pay a smaller guard a lot of money that you made a trade for earlier in the season. Now's the time to do it. You don't want them to hit free agency or even restrictive free agency. So we'll talk about that. And some trades have happened. The Mavericks have made a trade. They've acquired a former Houston Cougar. We'll talk about that as we do go around the NBA. But first, I want to talk about MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag if you want to bet on the Astros tonight or through the rest of the week. And if you think this hot streak continues, you can go to MyBookie.ag for that, .ag for that. Or you're looking at the upcoming weekend of soccer, and you see a place to make some money in the Euros or Copa America, MyBookie will take care of you there. So you can bet on sports, and you can take your shot at making some money with their online casino. They have a live casino, particularly when you're playing the likes of blackjack. They have a dealer who you can interact with. So it's not just cards popping up in your screen. If you want some interaction with a person, live, MyBookie provides that. So it's not just the soccer. It's not just baseball. You can put in some futures as well. We're going to talk about the Texans a little bit later. Maybe you think a certain NFL team in this town has got a shot to win over 9 games. Go to MyBookie for that as well. Just go to MyBookie.ag. And I point out all those things because it's bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. Just use that promo code BET975 and you get that sign-up bonus. And if you're an existing customer, you can take advantage of that bonus as well. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Pena here. Pena has a life update for us. We'll see if we can help, or maybe you just want to give us some information. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So yesterday, it was 4:05. I clocked out. I work all the way in Humble. I sped down 59. I made it to Minute Maid at 4:30, and I got my hat. Anything is possible!
Or...
I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you.
We did it!
That's right, we did. If you missed it, Pena called in yesterday, and he was very upset because the Astros set up, it was DJ Screw Day yesterday, and they had a collab where you can get a DJ Screw Astros hat. And Pena, you know, a working man, wasn't available to get there when they started selling them at 9 a.m., so he was worried that he wouldn't be able to. But he sped down after a full day of work, got there, got himself a hat, and we congratulate Pena on making it work. And as he told you, anything is possible. But for us, we're just happy that he did it.
Did you see the prices for those hats?
I did not.
They honored Houston with the price.
$71.03? What do you mean?
Think a different area code.
$28 and 10 cents?
You're closer. It's $281.
Well, yeah, of course. I was thinking they might be reasonable. Dumbass.
Yeah.
Dumbass. That happened. Pena was very upset, but he did get himself a hat, so we're glad Pena got himself a hat. And I know this can't be the actual person just because it's not humanly possible. So I'm just gonna say, and be respectful considering who you're representing, I'm gonna say DJ Screw on a Mobile is joining us.
Hey Dale, how you doing today?
How you doing?
Now, how do you feel about the DJ Screwston collection at the Houston Astros shop? How come they don't have a fat pack collection?
I don't know, Eric, what goes behind their marketing. I'm probably the wrong person for this specifically. You might want to put in a call or an email over there. But go ahead.
Do you think they should have a Myra Moreno collection at the Houston Astros shop?
Before I let you go, Since you called in about this, let me ask, what exactly would a Myra Moreno collection entail? What would it be? Would it be hats? Would it be shirts? What do you think that would be?
I'm thinking skirts and dresses for the ladies, you know.
But how
with
would
a
it
little Astros glitter on the backside.
Okay, but how would that signify it's special to Myra Moreno? Does she have a particular style that everyone would notice if it became Astros type stuff?
Telling me you don't like Myra Moreno?
I'm telling you, I'm asking you, actually. I'm not telling you anything. I'm asking you, what would make a Myra Moreno collection special beyond just putting Astro stuff on it? Like, does she have a certain type of dress she wears? Is there a signature style for Miss Moreno or Mrs. Moreno? I don't know if she's married. Because DJ Screw, obviously, they're paying tribute. How do you pay tribute to Myra Moreno with dresses by the Astros?
Maybe she can do. Maybe you and Myra Moreno could do a collab together at the Astros.
Why would I do a collab with Myra Moreno? All right, Eric, you're done. You're done here. I think I got him twisted up with my questions. Did a little investigating to see how far he would go with this. He didn't have much. He just wanted a Myra Moreno collection. What would that be?
Maybe she has a logo.
Yeah, I don't know what a Myra Moreno collection would look like because I'm looking at the DJ Screw stuff. It's clear that they're paying tribute. I don't know how you do that to Myra Moreno. Watch the newscast, okay?
I don't know.
Just watch them. Just watch them. I'm sure that's all. I'm sure she would appreciate that. Other than you,
I think she'd appreciate it if you only do that.
Yeah, just watch the newscast. You know,
move on with your life.
And move on. Maybe don't go to the social media accounts if you can't be a normal person. I'm sure she'd appreciate just you appreciating her ability to deliver local Houston news. But we move on. As the Haven of Nonsense continues, Fake Ryan has joined the show. He allegedly wants to talk Copa America. What's up?
Yellow. How you doing, Deli Belly?
Don't call me that.
I don't know.
All right.
I want to give a shout out to La Salsa. And so I had a question. Did you hear what happened at the Mexico-Jamaica game?
No, I did not. What happened?
One of the commentators in Spanish cussed. It was pretty hilarious. I want to see if we could play that clip over the ear. And what do you think about Clara Fernandez as OnlyFans page?
Thank you, Fake Ryan. We will not purposely play a curse word just because it's in Spanish. We're not going to do that. We would need to have some plausible deniability. Hey, I didn't know what they were saying, but now you just told us.
We had to play it on accident.
Yeah, I'm not going to play it on purpose.
We can't go, here's the clip that Fake Ryan was talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, particularly if it's been prompted by a guy called Fake Ryan with that fake voice.
Oh, that was a fake voice?
Hello. Yes.
Thought that was... Huh.
No. So that is, you might say, the actual Loraza making fun of the real Ryan, who's called in as La Salsa, if I connect the dots for everybody. That's why this is going on. If you missed the history of the show...
Thank you for the little explainer.
Yeah, this is like, if you want to... That happened earlier in season one of this show.
Yeah, that's like when after an obscure character in like a Marvel movie yes. or something makes a cameo, and then there has to be nine different... in case you missed it, Easter egg yeah. articles.
I'm this show's version of Reddit. If you need an explanation, I'm here for you. And
that was actually a callback.
Yes.
One of the original comics that this show is based off
that's
of.
That's right. Apparently, that's what this show is. You need an explainer. We need community notes on this show when people call in.
We definitely need community notes.
Yeah.
We definitely need, this is not true.
I am glad I'm fostering this community, but it does make my job a little bit more difficult trying to bring people in. Hey, I know that's weird that these two guys called within the same segment. And the other guy who called in was celebrating getting a hat, but this is kind of what I've brought on myself, and I mean, it's fine, and I'm fine with it.
The Peña hat arc, that's a pretty standard arc. Of,
yes,
you know, something in episode one pays off in episode two.
Yeah, if we're in a soap opera, what happened yesterday pays off today. This is a long-standing thing between a Ryan Fake Salsa Loraza, all
like
the things.
B plot to the show. It's like the long-running, like, oh, this is also just kind of happening in the background.
Yeah, just in case. It's like characters are, like when the main character's walking by and two characters are having a conversation and we never hear the sound. That's been brought to life on this show. Cool. We will get into, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do something very basic to maybe get back on track for people who, hey, I thought we talked sports on this show. Well, you are misinformed. But we will talk some sports when we come back. The Texans have been ranked. At least their offense has been ranked. And we'll discuss that and the rest of the top 10. We'll tell you where the Texans lie, according to NFL.com, and what might hold them back from being that type of offense. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, the Texans, as you might imagine, are thought to be a good offense. Are going to be a good offense in 2024. We know about the additions. We know all that they've done, and we know about CJ and what we expect in year two. There is a baseline of at least they're going to be competent, and in some cases, a baseline of people expecting them to be good, just good. Now, how good will they be? That's up for debate, and certainly those debates will continue until we see proof of what they put together, particularly in year two of Bobby Slowick's offense. So, there's a ranking of the top 10 offenses, the expected top 10 offenses in football in 2024. This is on NFL.com. Sean, have you clicked on the link yet?
No, I have not.
Good. That helps this exercise.
Okay.
If I told you that the Texans were number 9, would that surprise you?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, I'm telling you they're number nine. So
that is a little bit surprising.
Yes. Okay. Now that you know that, I'll give you why they're there, and then I'll start going through some of the other teams. You'll see what you agree with and what you don't agree with.
Okay.
All right. The reason, the worrying weakness. That's kind of that's how they describe everybody's weakness. The worrying weakness. Tough to say for me. Signature strength. It's a lot of alliterations. It's signature strength and worrying weakness.
Okay. They could have just said pro-con.
Pro-con, but they're screwing with me. I appreciate them
with
for that.
With you specifically.
Yeah. It's probably not affecting others like it's affecting me, but I appreciate the writer for this. They talk about the ground game. They mentioned Damian Pierce from 2022 and how he wasn't the same in 2023. And then they mentioned Devin Singletary leading a sluggish Texans offense, and they believe the acquisition of Joe Mixon is simply more of a name brand bump than anything else, because Joe Mixon, I'll let you guess this. How many 100-yard games do you think Joe Mixon has had in his last 43 games?
Last 43?
They're being very specific. How many 100-yard rushing games do you think Joe Mixon has had?
How many? That's like three seasons? Two and a half? 10?
Three. They do not believe simply adding Joe Mixon to this rushing attack is going to help that much. They just believe, hey, it's a name that you know. He's been on some successful teams, and that's what it is. So
it is a name I know.
Yes.
That is true.
Yes, it's going to be a name you think is going to provide something and he won't do it. We will see. We'll see in a new offense and a new system whether Joe Mixon can be more productive, particularly maybe running more from under center than standing next to Joe Burrow and some of their shotgun spread stuff that the Bengals like to get to, because Joe Burrow's very good in the shotgun. So that's why they're number nine. I will start naming off teams, not in any particular order, but see why you disagree, why these teams are ahead of the Texans. See if you disagree with any of these names. The Rams.
I understand.
The Lions.
I understand.
The Dolphins.
I can get it.
Okay.
But that's the one where they better be eighth or seventh.
They are sixth.
Huh. What were the Rams and Lions?
The Rams and Lions were 3 and 4.
Okay.
All right.
That tracks in my head.
You may disagree with the Dolphins thing, but you get the thought that the Rams and Lions should be 3 and 4.
Yeah. It's more just they were better last year.
Yes.
They didn't get worse.
Of course, I'll give you number one, the 49ers. I expect them to be number one.
Yeah.
All right. The Chiefs, number two, with obviously Patrick Mahomes, although they weren't great offensively last year. But
Mahomes, Kelsey.
But Mahomes, Kelsey. Well, is it the Kelsey we saw in the playoffs or the Kelsey we saw in the regular season?
Good point.
Yeah, so we will see about.
Does Taylor Swift still have a tour going on?
I mean,
it's the longest tour of my life.
She's got to serve the U.S. She's got to serve the international audience. So yeah, maybe by that point she'll be off the tour. I probably would disagree with this one the most so far. I think the Chiefs will be fine, but ahead of the Texans, I get the Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
thing.
The Chiefs are a tough one because it's like I have full faith in Patrick Mahomes to do enough for them to win the division and be in position. Oh, one or two seed?
Sure.
But, yeah, I don't know if that actually equals being a top 10.
But even last year, they were a three.
Yeah.
And the defense, it was so good that they could make up for their offense performing below what we have as expectations for them.
I think they'll be better offensively. I think they'll be better than last year.
Well, they got your guy.
Well, yes, but also just they had so many games where like Kadarius Toney was just giving the ball to the other.
Well, how
team
many
games? Four touchdowns.
They do have Marquise Brown. How many games Rashee Rice plays? That's up for debate.
Yeah.
And will Travis Kelce be one of those guys who paces himself, turned himself into an NBA player where he paces himself during the regular season and then shows up in the postseason again? We'll see.
What happened to my league? Supposed to live and die in September. The same way.
If you had to get to Brazil for a concert, you would maybe turn it down a little bit against the Raiders.
That's why they'll never win the big one. No, wait.
You can't even use that against them. Yeah, they've won the big one three times. So
including while she was on tour.
Yeah. Damn. She was at the game the last time they won the big one, by the way. So the Bengals. ahead of the Texans. Agree, disagree? You did take their running back away.
Yeah, they feel like it feels like they should be in the same tier, if anything. Well, I actually think the Texans should be ahead of them. Now, because if you're just going, well, it's Burrow, Chase, and Higgins. Okay, well, Stroud, Collins, Diggs, Dell. Like, that seems like a wash, like you said. Joe Mixon's on our side now.
Is Joe Burrow going to make it through the year? That's the weakness.
Yeah, it's Jake Browning. It's Ja'Marr Chase. It's
well, that would change things. Joe Burrow, 2 out of 4 years, could not finish the year. I mean, could not finish makes it seem like it's his fault. 2 out of 4 years, he's been injured, and he was not able to make it just because of the first time we know he tore his ACL, and then he had the wrist thing last year. So that's the biggest concern. Can they keep Joe Burrow upright and healthy? And that'll be on Trent Brown and Amarius Mims, the first round rookie, to get that done. So they're at 5, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ahead of the Texans. The other ones, Jordan Love, there, and the Packers are at 7.
That's aggressive, but we can keep it moving.
Okay. You don't like that one either.
Don't like that
one. The Bills at 8.
That's another one where, sure.
Yeah, and they, you know, it's interesting because in the weakness category, in the strengths, all they do is mention Josh Allen. In the weaknesses, they mention
everyone else.
They mention over reliance on Josh Allen.
Okay,
that might be a problem. Then they start talking about the weapons, but you know, are none as good as Stephon Diggs has been. But they'll have Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman, the rookie that everyone loves because of his sound bites, and then of course Dalton Kincaid and James Cook. Yeah. So the Texans fall at 9.
Do sound bites?
They don't win games.
Yeah, they don't win games.
They don't get open. They don't cause separation. Mm. So we'll see what Keon Coleman is as an NFL player. Number 10 behind the Texans, the one team in this top 10 that they decided the Texans could be ahead of. I don't think you could ever guess it. I'll give you 2 tries because how interesting is it to listen to you guess? So I'll give you 2 tries.
2 tries for the team that's better than the Texans.
Behind the Texans at 10.
Oh, behind the Texans at 10. The Jets?
No, not even. They're not mentioned, no. Told you, I don't think you'll ever get it.
You don't think I'll ever get it?
Well, yeah, if you know every team in the NFL, eventually you'll get it. But yeah, sure.
The Colts.
You got it.
Yeah.
2nd try.
Because I started thinking teams that you wouldn't think I would guess.
Yes. They use the Colts as their number 10. They think Anthony Richardson and his super heroic upside could be the difference in vaulting them. They make a Jalen Hurts comp and saying he could make that type of growth in the second year because he's playing under Shane Steichen, the same guy who got Jalen Hurts to MVP status as a potential MVP status as a in his second year with Steichen. So that's part of the reason why they think the Colts can be better. They also think, once again, that Richardson actually thinking he's a superhero and taking on all those hits can be a problem for them. But they do have...
Is that the worrying...
Yeah, that's a weakness, that the fact that he will be a guy who thinks he's a superhero.
He hasn't finished half his games. We're getting on Joe Burrow for not finishing half the seasons. This guy hasn't finished half his games.
Well, that's the difference. Joe Burrow didn't finish half a season, so he's at 5. Richardson didn't make it through like 6 games, so he's at 10 in his offense.
He only made it through like 2, like healthy.
I know, but he only played how many games did he actually play?
Like 4 or 5.
Yeah, he didn't get to like 5 or 6, so that's why he's at 10, I guess. So the Texans in the top 10 at 9. You can take it or leave it. It's just one person's opinion, but they do worry about their ability to run the football and balancing out what should be a potent passing offense. Joe Mixon, that was surprising, that number. Only eclipsed 100 yards 3 times in his last 43 games. Maybe that's why I only took a 7th-round pick. The Bengals are like, hey, go ahead, take him, even if it is only for a 7th. And if you want to give him new money, we would applaud you for it too, because we don't want to do it. So Joe Mixon here in town, we'll see if he can improve on those rather lackluster rushing stats. I see Billy, he wants to talk about Taylor Swift. There's another call. I don't see the name. Ryan Diamond, our intern. Fix that, please. Ryan Diamond, host of a Houston Rockets podcast. He wanted to come on, and I said, you can only come on if they take a player you didn't want. And they took Reed Sheppard. He was fine with it, so sorry. You should have lied. You shouldn't, like, no matter who they take, I'm not going to like it because I need them to make a trade. He's cool with Jinsey Rex Chapman. So I don't want that soft boy energy he brought the last time he was on, where we had to coax the energy out of him to make him upset. The man eventually leaned on, hey, that's anti-Semitic, because some person said something, not about him, but about somebody else. You weren't here for it, maybe. But he got the energy picked up, but he's too happy about what the Rockets are doing. I ain't looking for that. I'm looking for angst. Conflict. I will mention this podcast because I'm ripping him, but I have to ask him what the name of it is because I don't remember it. We will come back first hour of the show over. Billy, I hope you have a serious Taylor Swift comment because I'd love to hear it because Sean was very disrespectful.
I was not disrespectful. I just said, how long is this chick going to be on tour?
Well, you just called her a chick. That's kind of disrespectful. I don't go around calling women chicks and see how well it goes for you. Go on. I dare you. Try it. That's a little disrespectful to one of the biggest pop artists of all time.
Just
could have said woman.
I could have.
Even girl might have worked out for you. But chick. But you went with chick. I should have said you went with the C word. We'll come back. We'll be back right after this.
ESPN 97.5.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.